sir.
I'm opening this meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Information Technology. Today is May 5th. We have work sessions on a couple of different items today. So would you please introduce the first item for our work session? And I'm opening a work session on Oregon Employment Department OED Modernized Business Systems and Technology Infrastructure Project.
Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, today we have the Oregon Employment Department, as Representative Nathanson indicated, here to talk about their Modernized Business Systems and Technology Infrastructure Project. In terms of an overview, within the agency's budget bill, Senate Bill 5508, they have a policy option package, number 101. Within that policy option package, the agency has worked with LFO to revise the request. They've now made a request for approximately $3 million of other funds expenditure limitation. These resources will be used primarily for contracted professional services costs and four internal backfill positions, which are the equivalent of 1.16 full-time equivalent positions, to launch the planning phase of this project. In alignment with the stage gate review process that the Office of the State CIO and the Legislative Fiscal Office have agreed to, the agency anticipates that expenditure limitation for the project will be approved in stages along the project's life cycle. This current request includes spending authority for the completion of a detailed business case, a feasibility study, an independent risk assessment, project management plans, procurement statements of work, and an independent quality assurance review and ongoing oversight as required by the stage gate review process. Based on preliminary research and analysis the agency's conducted to date, the preliminary cost estimate for the full project, should it be approved by the legislature to proceed to execution, is approximately $85 million to be accomplished over several biennium. Again, the request before you today is for planning purposes only for the 2015-17 biennium, and the agency plans to come back to the legislature in its annual session and at whatever interim meetings the legislature may require.
Thank you. Would the agency please come forward and present? We're ready to hear your explanation of the request.
Co-Chairs Nathanson and Riley and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Lisa Neisenfeld. I'm the director of the Oregon Employment Department. And thank you for taking the time to discuss our request today. As you know, we have three business lines at the Employment Department, unemployment insurance being the largest, and we also offer job services to the public through a series of work source centers, which is a joint operation with local workforce boards. We also have a large research operation. today we're here to talk with you. The most urgent piece of our technology infrastructure that we fear failure from is the unemployment insurance part, but our technology is wrapped together in one big confusing I want to say rat's nest, but that's not quite the word, but you know, it's everything is interrelated, and the feasibility study and business case will help us understand better what the specific needs are that we need then to go out looking for systems that will support our business needs, and that's a very deliberate and disciplined process that the department has not engaged in well in the past. We're actually really pleased to be working with LFO and the state CIO in moving these projects forward because it seems like the group of minds together works the best. I want to, before I turn it over to our CIO, I want to highlight the urgency of our systems. As I think we've discussed with most of you, our systems currently, the unemployment insurance system is based on a mainframe and is programmed in COBOL. COBOL having been invented during World War II, and becoming increasingly difficult to find people to work on that who are familiar with that. So as we move forward, we're hoping to move into the 21st century and rely on other states and their modernization efforts also to help us find solutions that work and have been proven elsewhere. I would also like to mention that during the federal stimulus period, the department was given $85 million in federal funds to pursue this. So that's largely what we will be relying on to make the project happen in future years. So I'd like to introduce Gerald Fahrenkopf.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair.
Chair.
Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you. Before you get started, I didn't mean to interrupt, but Lisa, it's my understanding that the department has been saving some of that READ Act money and building up some Supplemental Employment Department administrative funding to pay for these needed IT programs. And in 2009-11, $9 million was swept from your agency. In the next biennium, $10 million more. And it's my understanding now that there's an attempt to take another $37.9 million in CDAF funds for employment-related daycare or some other thing. So since you're going to apparently have to use the READ Act money to backfill the CDAF money for your administration, where's the money going to come from to pay for these IT programs?
Co-Chairs Nathanson and Riley, Senator Whitsitt, we have kept the $85 million that we were given for modernization in a separate fund, and it is not part of the READ Act and other funds that will backfill for the swept CDAF funds in this biennium. It became clear when I started this job 19 months ago, in 5 days, there were many questions in the legislature and elsewhere about whether the department had been fully forthcoming about its resources, particularly its end-of-year balances. And so as we checked into that, we understood we had one chance to be forthcoming about what our ending balance was anticipated to be. And we did. And you see the result. But we believe that those were funds that were built up over a number of years from stimulus funds, grants that were given to us by the Department of Labor, often in the between sessions where we could staff the grants without hiring additional staff. So funds built up over time, also penalties and interest and things like that. By the end of the coming biennium, we will be basically at bone. So we will not be able to withstand additional CDAF sweeps at that time because we have provided a substantial boost to the general fund. But this fund is indeed separate, and we've been very zealous about protecting it because we knew we simply couldn't afford to be knocking on your door asking for general fund money to do it at that cost.
And thankfully, the federal funds can't be swept. Thank you.
Let's move along.
All right. Thank you. Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Riley and Nathanson, committee members. My name is Gerald Fahrenkopf, and I'm the CIO of the Employment Department. And I'm here to finish up talking about modernization for OED. On a go-forward basis, we're striving towards providing modern services for those we serve with a buy versus build model. And this means we'll look to invest in technology on a go-forward basis wherever possible. But I want to point out the first steps we believe for successful modernization is to make sure we have a fully functioning project management office. We have that now. To make sure we have an agency governance committee that's staffed by agency business people from the agency. We have that now. It's been running for a few months. And then the last leg of that support for us is to have an enterprise architecture, which is really a blueprint of what we have today, what we need for tomorrow, and how we're going to get to the future. That is underway at this point. Then for modernization, what that means to us is we'll start with a high-level plan. We know that needs to be approved through the state CIO LFO stage gate review process. Once we move along that line, we know we'll do a market assessment of available solutions. We will then compare our future needs with those solutions. We'll follow a buy versus build strategy, and we'll look at other states that have successfully implemented modernization, that solutions that work well, and solutions that have been have security covered for today and into the future wherever possible. And then lastly, we want to make sure whatever we buy or build is maintainable and supportable and scalable. We know we need to grow this out. Some of the advantages of modernization from our perspective are on this slide. I'm actually going to approach it from the flip side of that coin. During the early days of the 2013-15 biennium, OAD hired a consultant to assist us in assessing our current information technology infrastructure and our organization. That assessment did confirm that we do need to modernize. And it also suggested we begin by documenting our IT systems, or the start of the blueprint, or the enterprise architecture. So we have started that. We have an RFP that's ready to hit the street in May to get somebody to help us with enterprise architecture, and we hope to have that done in the next several months. Some of the issues, those are the positives, some of the issues of why we want to modernize, we've talked about it before, but I'll go ahead and reiterate. Our systems are over 20 years old. They are, the bulk of them are written in COBOL on the mainframe. They're not compatible with modern technology. They're near or at end of life, and they're difficult to maintain and update in a timely manner. They're expensive to maintain and are increasingly unstable. They don't share information easily. As we have added things, it's just harder and harder to move information around easily, so it takes more time and work. And there's a high degree of staff intervention in our systems, and that's costly. It's a little harder to adapt these in a timely manner to the changing business needs and customer needs out there. And we require staff with specific skills to get that done. And again, we're beating a dead horse here, but COBOL is harder and harder to find people that know that, and that is our current systems. That results in delayed responses to customer requests and payments, makes it much more difficult to reduce the amount of benefit overpayments, and it makes it much more difficult to help those receiving unemployment benefits to get reemployed. So we're looking to modernize to help either eliminate that or certainly improve all those areas. Before you is our policy option package 101, which is modernization. And we are asking authority to spend a little more than $3 million of OAD other funds. There's no general funds in this request. And this is only for initial planning, and it gets us through stage gate one of the state CIO LFO stage gate process. This will require us to do our due diligence and planning and get that, run that by LFO and the state CIO, make sure we're doing the right thing. If approved to move forward, there's some key things we want to do. So we know we need to get some outside expertise on modernizing systems, so we'll look for consultants to help us there. We'll need to go out and contract a PM to help us find the consultant firm and maybe help us with feasibility project management. We'll need some business systems analysts. That's not an expertise we currently have in-house. So we'll contract that out. And then we'll also get a requirements analyst. And that's the position, and that's a contracted position. That's the position to turn those business requirements into technical requirements so that we can start working on systems at that point. At some point in this process of initial planning, we'll need subject matter experts from the business, and as we move them into the modernization program, we'll backfill with the limited duration position Sean mentioned earlier. That's about 0.29 FTE, as I have in my notes. And then we know there will be some services and supply costs. In particular, we have contracted independent quality assurance to do, and then some position-related S&S. We have been in consultation with LFO, and based on that, we plan on coming back in the February 2016 session and report out our progress on the modernization business case the project plans and feasibility plans, and we'll review that by going through the state CIO LFO process.
I'd like to follow up on one thing.
Okay.
To just clarify something for the record, I believe I heard you use the phrase, and then at some point we need to get the people on the business end of things involved. But we're all understanding the importance of starting out with looking at the business need first. It's sort of like form follows function. You don't figure out IT stuff and then ask someone later, oh, yeah, what were you trying to do? Will this work for you? But you have been working from the beginning on business practices and business operations to determine what should what is needed. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have been doing that. And part of enterprise architecture, I'll augment that by saying that enterprise architecture is both technical and business. And the firm we hire to do that will be working with the business to understand what they have today, what they think they need for tomorrow. And that'll be part of our enterprise architecture and then used in the modernization planning process.
That's
so
very,
we
that's
will work
clear.
With the business first.
Thank you.
And may I add to that just a touch, Co-Chair Nathanson? We are also undertaking a lean process with the Unemployment Insurance Division, so we make sure that we are able to cleanly articulate those needs in rather than our needs as they're related to current technology.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. This slide really addresses in a little more detail the resources we're talking about. I'll just focus on them a little more detail. We know we need to go out and get somebody with modernization experience to help us with the planning phase and also to help us build a program management office, because this is going to be a multi-biennium, lots of projects. We'll want that office to make sure we're doing the right thing. We'll hire a contract PM to help us find that consultant firm through an RFI, RFP process, and then also keep them to help us with the feasibility project itself. We'll need, we're anticipating two business systems analysts, one for the unemployment insurance side and one for the business and employment service side. Those will be contracted. Then we'll also hire one contracted requirements analyst, again, to turn the business requirements into functional requirements. And then as we move the business subject matter experts into that modernization to do the processes and programs and requirements, we'll backfill them with the limited durations. And there will be eventually four of those. And then, of course, there's some personal services. And then vendor costs. We know that we're going to have project oversight. There will be the feasibility plan. There will be vendor technical review of the design. And then quality assurance is independent quality assurance will be about 7% of the project costs. So we'll know that'll be in there. This is a high level draft modernization timeline we've come up with, subject to change, but I wanted to give you an idea of what we're thinking. We've already completed the agency strategic plan. There's a strategic plan for information technology. We have established a high-level budget for that planning piece. We've established a project management office and have been working on process improvements, and a lot have been implemented. We also formed an agency governance committee, which is staffed by business personnel, and that's been going for several months now. And then last, we expect to release an RFP for enterprise architecture this month and then get that completed in the next several months. And then things we're looking at to be successful, and this isn't complete, but we're just key things I'm looking at for IT and the agency. Again, I think it's really critical for us to get some experienced contracted consulting help for modernization, both planning and project management. The outcome of that feasibility study that we're asking approval to move forward on will need to be reviewed by technical and business experts. We plan on using, in one case, the nationally sponsored support system by the Department of Labor. They've had experience with other states that have modernized, so they'll be a good resource for us to run things by. And of course, we'll be looking at other successful employment departments at in states that have modernized their processes and technology systems, keeping in mind buying versus building, and then lots of careful planning and making sure that we have frequent communications with the Office of the State CIO and the Office of the State's Chief Financial Officer, sorry, and LFO. And then throughout all the modernization project, not just this first phase, if we keep moving forward, we'll adhere to management project management methodology, quality assurance requirements, and the joint state CIO LFO review, the Stagegate review process. Happy to answer any questions, but that's the extent of what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Yes, Representative.
Thanks, thanks, Chair Nathanson. So let's see, I'm having a hard time connecting slide number 2, which has several programs in it there. So I think you talked about you have the unemployment insurance program. Hmm? That has kind of 2 segments to it, a tax and a benefits thing. And there's a whole bunch of other yellow boxes on there. Connecting slide 2 with slide 7, which is your kind of your swim lane chart there that's got the project moving forward. Are you going to develop this in segments, or are you just going to do one fell swoop and get it all done? Or
okay,
tell me.
Co-chairs Riley and Nathanson and Representative Neerman, our plan, really the initial planning, will be to look at the entire agency. And then once we have that initial plan and assuming approval to move forward, then we'll start breaking it down into those boxes. And we're likely to start with unemployment tax first, which is one of those boxes under unemployment. So we'll start by doing the high-level plan for the entire agency and then break it into linear pieces.
So you're not even there yet to the part where you've that will be something that the project management team will break down then like that.
And that's something that I think the feasibility plan will help us address as well. Yeah.
Good. What is the recommendation from Legislative Fiscal Office?
Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, we have been working with the department for some time along with the Office of the State CIO. We do believe that at this point in the project's life cycle, and you can tell it's very, very early in this project's life cycle, they have completed a sufficient level of due diligence. The resources, which to clarify is spending authority that they've requested, is necessary for them to conduct the additional proper due diligence to effectively move through the Stagegate review process and for the legislature to then have the information necessary to make an informed determination about whether, when, and at what level the department ought to move forward. We did post on the OLIS site for this committee meeting specific recommendations for this project and for the next agency that'll be up on today's agenda. Specifically, we do recommend incremental conditional approval of this policy option package, and this is very important, assuming the spending authority and personnel resources are made available to the agency within Senate Bill 5508. And what we're saying there is that the final action on this particular budget is going to be made by the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee. Our recommendations really are geared toward if those resources are approved within the agency's budget bill, here's how the project ought to proceed. And so within the letter that we've provided, we have provided some specific recommendations, which I would be glad to read through. I don't know if Senator Riley had a question.
No, I was just going to make a motion.
I think we're ready for a motion. Senator.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the LFO recommendation for Policy Option Package 101.
Thank you. A motion has been made. Committee, is there discussion on this motion? Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Chair. For LFO, do you have any idea how much money an in-kind staff cost will be expended on this project before they ever start to build something? When we're talking about actual cash money and then the employment department staff and LFO staff and DAS staff, have you ever looked at that?
Co-chairs Senator Whitsitt, certainly within the agency's budget request, We have asked them to identify the specific agency resources that are directly associated with the project, and those are the four backfill positions. The agency has not yet made an estimation of all of the employment department staff that will be that will need to be involved in the business process analysis that downstream, because they're not there yet, might need to be involved in things like testing, you know, downstream training, downstream, and then certainly we have not at this point accounted for every hour that the Office of the State CIO and LFO have spent on this project, but we are here for that specific purpose, and you know, our time is spread across all of the agencies, all of the projects that we that we oversee. So that was a long way of getting to no, we have not made a full allocation of you know, wrapped our arms around the full amount of time and or what the estimated cost would be at this point in time.
Well, Madam Chair,
yes.
To follow up, that's something that bothers me in looking at these projects in this committee and also in general government. Some of these projects go on for years before they're being, you know, and I think we should be, we should be trying to account for what, you know, what those costs are, what those accumulative costs are, and why it is that it takes so long to do these things, and perhaps we should find a way to speed them up. Some of these IT programs appear to be a career in themselves.
Thank you, Senator.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, Representative.
Thanks, Madam Chair. One of the things, this is just kind of a comment, and it's partly directed at this, partly because it's early in the process, but one of the things that I've kind of been slowly uncovering as a cost driver in these IT projects, and this, the $3 million, isn't really a huge ask among other IT projects, so, but is the service level agreements that come with these, both for data and for networking, and so I'll be looking at that. I get the feeling that DAS asks what service level do you need, and agencies tend to say 24/7, 365, and I get the feeling that that's not always necessary for you know, that this isn't a human life support system. This is, you know, for gosh sakes, this is the employment department, which is important, but that maybe that the service level agreements are something that needs to be watched. So I'll be looking at that. So I just wanted to make a comment for that. So I'm glad to
thank
see you.
You
can comment on my comment if you want.
Co-chairs, Representative Nierman, this initial planning phase will start to give us a view into service levels or servers and software and services the SDC ETS supplies. But at this point, we don't have enough information to identify that. But I agree with you. We do need to make sure we account for those costs. There will be servers. There will be software. And we'll need to address those.
Any additional discussion? Yes, Senator.
Well, I guess I have a question. I don't know who wants to answer it, but kind of building on what Senator Woodsett was saying, it seems like they're asking for $3 million, which isn't the whole scheme of things. I mean, it's a lot of money to most people, but in this process, it isn't a whole lot. But is there a sort of an estimate as to how much is going towards staff, how much is going to contractors? Because it seems like spending $3 million without still having built anything, and that's a little frustrating, I think, to people. But I know there has to be some preliminary work that has to go into it. But I just wondered what all it is. What's it estimated to be and contain.
I would like LFO to answer that question if there's any additional information that needs to be corrected, the agency can, but I'd like LFO to answer that for us, and also for you to comment on, once again, to differentiate our role looking at the plan for an IT project versus the Ways and Means Subcommittee, more substantive committee, I guess you would say, that will look at it, which one is looking mostly at the money side of things and whether resources are available for the project, and how our role fits in with that versus just looking over to ensure that the project is appropriate, that the planning it is developing appropriately, or the need is there, or that it's been reviewed in the context of other projects that are happening. Could you clarify that for us, please?
Sure. Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, Senator Thatcher, I'll take first your question in terms of differentiating the roles. So certainly the transportation, in this case, the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee will have the primary role determining whether or not the resources are available. In this case, it's spending authority, and or whether the agency should be authorized a specific position level and or type of position. In terms of the detail on the approximately $3 million, yes, there is a detailed budget for this particular request. Unfortunately, I did not bring it with me. Certainly in future meetings, I will make sure to do that. I think it'll likely be a repetitive need, and so I'll do that. But yes, they've made a specific request. It's outlined by expense category. The agency may very well have that detail to share. The one thing that I would point out is that this particular request is for the planning phase of the project, which is potentially estimated to be $85, potentially $90 million over multiple biennia. And so in terms of overall scope and scale, that's not out of line on a general macro level to spend that level of resource on the planning phase. We actually do have the LFO budget analyst who was watching from afar, and she's in the back of the room if you'd like a more specific answer.
I don't know if that's necessary at this point. I just wondered if that had been broken out.
It has.
How it's determined that that is an appropriate amount. I guess you're saying that that's just not out of line with previous projects, and therefore it made sense, pretty much.
Generally speaking, yes.
Okay.
Thank you for that response. Any additional questions or discussion? The motion has been made. Are there objections to the motion? No objections. Motion passes. Now, this is starting a string of actions this committee will take. You are going to communicate this, the results of this motion to the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee. Is that correct?
Chair Nathanson, yes, that's correct.
Okay.
I'll work with the LFO budget analyst and the committee administrator for that subcommittee to make sure that this recommendation is included in work session papers.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I'm closing this work session on Oregon Employment Department, and I'm opening a work session on Oregon Department of Forestry, ODF Forestry Activity Electronic Reporting and Notification System Enhancement Project. Why don't y'all come forward while we're hearing the overview?
Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, the Department of Forestry is here today to discuss, I'll use the acronym, the Ferns Enhancement Project. This particular project is included within House Bill 5019. This is policy option package number 151. Within that policy option package, the department has made a revised 2015-17 request in the amount of $1,397,398. That involves a split 60-40 between general fund and other funds. The source of funds for the other funds is the forest products harvest tax. They've also asked for one FTE on a limited duration basis for a project manager position. Essentially, that's to be able to continue the current project manager that is completing activity on the core system to continue that position and that person forward for the enhancement project. These resources will be used to plan and implement incremental enhancements to this particular system. Again, as with the Oregon Employment Department, the Department of Forestry understands that they need to and have been following the joint stage gate review process. They understand that resources for this project will be likely approved by the legislature in stages, so on and so forth. With that,
good.
Does that work?
Yes,
okay,
thank
great.
You. We're ready for you.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Lena Tucker. I am the Deputy Chief with the Private Forest Division with the Oregon Department of Forestry. We appreciate your time today as we provide you with an overview of the ODF e-notification project. That is our public-facing name. FERNS, for short, is really our project name when we started. And with me today is Stephen Hoffert, who is our Chief Information Officer at ODF. So I'll start off with the presentation, and then I'll transfer it over to Stephen. Oh, sorry. Got it. Thanks. So the e-notification system history really starts with the Forest Practices Act, which is our cornerstone of resource protection on private forest lands in Oregon. And it requires adequate staffing to provide education and technical assistance for landowners, for our stewardship foresters to perform site inspections and conduct effectiveness and compliance monitoring. The development of e-notification achieves ODF's strategic initiative goal to seek effectiveness and efficiency in how we administer the FPA. The project goals included the ability for the customer or the notifier to submit notifications of forest operations and also to apply for a permit to operate power-driven machinery or use fire on forest land, and to do all that electronically rather than the paper-based process that we had. The system provides for electronic communications between ODF stewardship foresters and their customers over the lifespan of a notification. And another goal was to produce reports for the supervisors of those stewardship foresters to help with monitoring workloads, reporting accomplishments, and tracking customer service performance. An integrated GIS, Geographic Information Service, provides for increased resource protection as our stewardship foresters now are able to conduct their resource reviews within one system rather than going back and forth between other programs. And finally, the ability for our stewardship foresters to take a standalone version of the forest practices and the fire inspection reports into the field on a mobile device improves efficiencies in how we conduct our inspection site visits. A little bit more about our system history of this project. The development of this web-based system in which customers can submit their notification of operations electronically was identified as a key business improvement need for ODF. And per direction provided by a budget note in the department's 2011-13 budget, we contracted with an independent third party to do a lean assessment and make recommendations on cost strategies, efficiencies, and cost avoidance strategies that would provide effective administration of the FPA. So we conducted a series of interactive sessions to gather information on how we administer the Forest Practices Act, and we met with customers and stakeholders to validate their issues and their needs. In 2013, we retained a qualified consultant to develop and implement this electronic notification system. And on October 1st, 2014, last year, we went live with the very first release of this system, which addresses our minimum legal requirements for processing notifications of forest operations and the permit to operate power-driven machinery, along with the integrated GIS system that tracks operations across the landscape. In December 2014, we went live with the second phase, which added in the ability to conduct industrial fire inspections and also to provide for a continuation of one notification into the following calendar year. Work continued on the standalone mobile inspection application, and we're happy to report that we'll be finished with that and going live with the inspection project on their mobile devices by the end of this month, just in time for fire season. Achievements and realized benefits include 100% of those notifications of operations are now submitted electronically. So starting October 1st of 2014 through the end of the calendar year, 24 notifications were entered into the system. 2,400. To date for 2015, we have 7,400 notifications in the system. We have a robust geospatial component, including the ability for our notifiers to cut and paste their own GIS shapefiles of their operational areas from their GIS programs into e-notification. This eliminates the need for them to do any manual digitization of their operation areas. We've also reduced the administrative workload as paper notifications no longer need to be entered into a database or the maps digitized by hand. And with the launch of our mobile application, the stewardship foresters will no longer need to complete their inspection reports on paper and then go back to the office and input them into a system. Yes.
Thank you. Could you estimate the cost savings that have been created by going to an electronic and geospatial component, this whole thing, from the standpoint of actual dollars saved and hours and positions?
Co-Chairs Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, Senator Whitsitt, we do have that material, that information in our business case, and I don't have that today, but I'd be happy to dig up those numbers and get that back to you.
Thank you.
So our policy option package 151 request includes the following work, as you can see on the screen. And so e-notification, we feel, has been very successful in meeting the most basic business functions of receiving and processing the forest operation notifications. We do have some critical improvements that we need to perform to ensure we're meeting our legal requirements, but also to set a firm foundation for future expansions, such as the public portal for the subscriptions. So improving the customer and the stewardship forester workflows based on the input from all the users these first 8 months is really a critical component to ensure that the foundation of our system is ready to add on the new development of the public subscription system. We also need to provide that reporting format for our supervisors and our foresters so they can track completion of the operations, the number of the fire inspections and forest practices inspections they completed, numbers of activities such as acres harvested, miles of road improved. We need to use that to track our performance and our workload. So the addition of the public portal for subscriptions to notifications will automate and provide needed efficiencies in our current paper-based process. Development ideas include providing the ability for a customer to register in the system and receive electronic copies of those notifications of forestry operations in a general area around their home. As a great number of our subscribers are actually cities and counties, we will have to do some work with them to figure out how they want to best receive that information electronically. We believe that automating the public subscription system is the logical next step in improving efficiencies for our customers and for our staff. And we believe this will relieve the public of the cost burden that they currently have because they have to pay for the paper copies of notifications. And if our customers do not have easy access to the internet or not a robust enough system, then we want to work with them to figure out the best way to do that. For example, for our notifiers, people that have to enter their information into the system for the notification, we've created a computer kiosk at each of our offices so people can go there and use the computer. So we're looking for a similar solution for those customers on the public subscription side that might not have readily available internet access. And finally, we do need to do a few more improvements to our GIS system to help our stewardship foresters make sure they're doing a very complete resource protection review when they review the notifications. And finally, this policy option package also includes the permanent maintenance funding. And with this, I'd like to go ahead and introduce Stephen Hoffert, who will complete our presentation.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Riley and Co-Chair Nathanson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Stephen Hoffert. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the Oregon Department of Forestry. It's a pleasure to be in front of you again and talking about a specific package and one that we are very excited about, next biennium. The policy option package in front of you, policy option package 151, it breaks down into four components. The first is a development package that we talked about on workflow improvements and the reporting tools that we need. The package two breaks out into the public portal for notifications that our members can subscribe to. And then part three is the annual subscription or the maintenance cost for the application that we have developed from last biennium. And so that's going to cover the costs of the ongoing support and maintenance of the system that's currently in place. And then number four is just the funds needed to continue our limited duration project manager. Should this package move forward, we'd like to keep the same project manager on board to continue with the development.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, yes, Senator.
On your package one, the customer workflow, this is the system that you were talking about earlier that you have how many thousand entries already in, and it was very successful. If everybody is getting all their data in already, what kind of workflow improvements do you see that you need?
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson. To answer that question, we have a backlog of user stories, which are descriptions of improvements that we need to make to the system, and currently we have about 200 on that. When we developed the system, we really pared it down to the bare bones. You know, this was not the Cadillac version, this was a four-door sedan. And so as our users have been interacting with the system for 8 months now, we're finding a few efficiencies that we need to work on. As I spoke earlier, the GIS resource review, we're still missing a few details in our GIS layers for our stewardship foresters to review protected resources such as spotted owl nest areas and some of those. They currently have to go to another system to do that. On the external side facing our customers, what we're finding is that when an operational area crosses the boundary between two stewardship forester work areas, the system isn't smart enough to figure out that the stewardship forester with the most acres should get the notification, so it kind of picks one or other based on the alphabetical last name. And so we have some of these small improvements that we really need to get operating smoothly before we move and add a new package on top of it.
Thank you.
So the budget package total is about $1.4 million. Our project timeline, we believe we complete this project in the 15-17 biennium. Several factors are going to allow us to move rather quickly. The first two being is that our project team is already assembled. They're just coming off the work that we're completing now. They're all still in place back at their normal jobs, but we have the commitment to bring that group back together. Additionally, we have a contract in place from the vendor who we did the development work the first time, and all we have to work on there is a new statement of or a scope of work versus having to go out for a whole complete new RFP process. So that will significantly reduce the time to getting a contract vendor in place. The project is going to be in two major phases. The first one is the phase one development, which is really those incremental improvements that we need to make. That will not be a big bang rollout at the end. It's going to be released as we make those changes. There's no reason to hold off on some of these changes till the very end and then release them all at once. The phase two development is going to be more of a develop the whole piece and then release it as a final version at the end. And with that, of course, there's going to be training for our end users, updated documentation, and all the bells and whistles go into the project management arena. And of course, the bottom bar down there is us working closely with the Office of the State CIO, the joint stage gate process that Sean has mentioned. In this project timeline, we have taken into account what we'd call a normal fire season. But they haven't been normal for the last few years, so just as you know, always a concern for ours is that that's in our planning, but we can't always plan perfectly to that. Our process for success, we had great success this current biennium, and with the release of the mobile application, we think we have a sound process in place, but we do want to build on the past project success. We have a term in ODF called after action review, which we have every intention of going through with this process and recognizing what we did well and where we can improve from the last project to incorporate into this project. We are fully engaged, and as we are up here today, also back in the office, we are joined as a partnership to make this successful from an IT perspective and from a business perspective. We follow project management best practices and have a project manager on board. And we continue to work closely with our partners, both in the state and our stakeholders, the folks out there who are going to be the beneficiaries of this project when completed. So, and as always, we'll be coming forward, meeting with you all when requested or during legislative updates. Do you have any other questions for us?
Yes, Senator Whitson.
Thank you. Just one question. The limited duration project manager position, I'm assuming that's going to terminate on, in March of 2017 when the project's completed?
That would be the plan.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator.
I think this is actually a question for LFO because I'm looking at the memorandum that you prepared. And down on the bottom of page one, you refer to this as a multi-release 1,803,788 project from April 2012 to March 2015. So that does not include the 1,397. So it's, you add those together. And so I'm curious how much is this, and that sounds like it'll complete the project. That'll take us through the completion. And I'm wondering if that fits with the original estimate of the total project costs.
Co-chairs, Senator, members of the committee, Senator Thatcher, the initial project costs that were provided to the Office of the State CIO and LFO for the first phase have been completed. Certainly, the initial budget that was estimated only included contractor costs. The $1.8 million does include internal ODF staff. And as this project is employing what's called an iterative development cycle, an agile development cycle, their estimates were refined over time as they communicated with the Office of the State CIO and LFO in the completion of phase one. And so the phase one, which was multi-release, from April 2012 to March 2015. Our understanding of the closeout budget for this project is that it's $1.8 million. Certainly the request that they made for 1517 is still at the high level. That's why in the detailed recommendation that we made, we're recommending conditional approval of the request, again, assuming the Natural Resource Subcommittee makes those resources available. And core to that is that the agency needs to refine its business case and present a detailed plan for the second phase.
I guess what I mean is, for instance, the last, the Employment Department was up here, and they're talking about this project over time costing a total of $85 million, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what the number was for this project and how far off we are.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Senator Thatcher, I have to say LFO was not aware of subsequent phases at the time that this original project was proposed. And so this is a new request. Now that they have completed the existing system, it was not originally estimated as part of the original project or the original project budget or timeline.
Okay.
So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
Great.
But it didn't answer mine, I think. So maybe you can tell us what the original project that you completed, what the original estimate was for that, and how close you came.
Co-Chair Riley, Co-Chair Nathanson, and to answer your question, Senator Riley, so when we originally put this project together, we did not have a budget request. We did not have funding provided to us by the legislature. We just received a budget note asking us to move on. So we had to work through our existing budget, prioritize our other projects, and decide how much we could feasibly spend to create, like I said, kind of the bare bones system with just the actual legal requirements. So when I total it all up and I look in just specifically payments to our contracted vendor, those first two phases that we talked about, we spent right about $1.1 million to complete phase one and phase two. Now on that, we had scoped out other other additions to the system. We always wanted to automate the subscriber,
the
public portal in the beginning. We just, within my existing budget, we could not find the funds to do that. So again, we had to pare down and prioritize and focus on legal requirements.
I think that answered our question. Thank you very much. Does
that
help,
you?
I thought so. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
That brings up another question, actually. Is there a third phase?
Say that again.
Is there another phase? After 17, will there be another ask?
Co-Chairs Riley and Co-Chair Nathanson, Senator Whitsitt. With the completion of improving customer workflow and adding the public portal for subscriptions, that's the plan that we have in front of us now. Now, who knows, in 5 to 10 years, what are the changes out there? What changes will happen to the Oregon Forest Practices Act that perhaps we'll have to add other reporting and tracking features?
You answered the question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just one, co-chairs, members of the committee, Senator Whitsitt, just one more addition. The only item that we're aware of currently that will be included in future biennia is the annual maintenance cost, and we've identified that as something that needs to be built into the base budget for the agency and for 17, 19, and so on. But at this point, we're not aware of additional development.
Yes, I think. I think we should hear that now. Did you have a question earlier? All right. Yeah. Let's hear your recommendation from LFO.
Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, we have, as we did with the previous agency, we have provided a detailed memo for this particular policy option package. We recommend conditional approval of policy option package 151, again, assuming the funding and personnel resources are made available to the agency within House Bill 5019 by the Natural Resources Subcommittee. Again, we have provided a detailed set of recommendations. I can go through them if the co-chairs would like.
They've been available. Okay. I don't think we need to.
Okay. So, Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the LFO recommendation for policy option package 151.
The motion has been made. Is there discussion on the motion? Objections? Motion passes. And as for the other one, you will be taking this on to the policy, not the policy committee, but the substantive Ways and Means Subcommittee.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, yes. I have been working with Matt Stainer, the LFO budget analyst for the Oregon Department of Forestry, and I'll be working with him and the committee administrator for that committee to make sure these recommendations are part of their working papers.
Okay. Thank you for being with us and presenting it. I'm closing the work session on this recommendation. Is there any other business for us to consider today?
None for today.
Okay. Thank you all. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
So I just got before.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.